And Chick told you he's not real comfortable with the whole Jewish thing.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'll go. I'll go any direction. I know he's an anti-Semite. There's no question about it. You kidding me?
You can tell.
Are you kidding me? That's implied.
I got the look. That was the most evil look I ever got.
I was like, what are you
man.
Doing? Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air right this minute. Welcome back. Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. I'm Chick McGee. That is Jess.
Hello.
And that is our producer, Mr. Jason of Beverly Hills.
For now.
Did you get a better offer?
He gave me the look.
Oh.
He was fucking with me before we got on the air. Good show today. We're going to have a good show today, right?
Well, hey, we'll see.
Oh, God, you and your expectations.
I don't have I'm working on that.
I missed your call, by the way.
Yeah, are you headed here?
I'm headed here.
We'll cover that in just a minute. Our guest today, we're very excited. The one, the only Andy. I said only and Andy at the same time. Andy Kindler's here.
Andy Kindler, this is my new radio voice, 65 degrees downtown Los Angeles. Come up in a half hour, we're going to be doing a rock block, back-to-back classics. I love that song. What's that song?
That is Mr. Bob Schneider, a personal friend of mine, of course.
That guy's great. This is the guy who lives in Austin?
He lives in Austin. Mm-hmm.
Well, tell him that I'm coming down and let's do it.
Well, you just got back from Austin, right?
I know, but I need to know more about this guy.
Yeah, he's very good.
He reminds me a little bit of Squeeze.
A little bit. A little squeezy.
But I don't mean that. Musicians hate that.
He's all over, though, because he raps in some songs. Some songs have a banjo. He's all over the place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some of my jokes use banjos.
Really?
I would like to see that.
Whatever I do, my whole thing... For people who don't know what my thing is, and if you don't know, log on to andykindler.com, diannakindler.com, mm-hmm. is that whatever the last sentence that somebody says is, I take that and make another sentence from it. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's not shocking in any way. I don't Louis C.K. it at the end where I end up in my colon. But
thought-provoking? Is it thought-provoking at all?
It is not thought-provoking. In fact, people say it's thought-stopping.
Is that right?
The stuff that I say, it makes you not want to think.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Andy.
That's my catchphrase. You know what I'm saying?
I thought it was, now what? No.
Now what?
What was it?
What now?
What now?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Was it why not?
That was a lot of catchphrases.
Did you know, Jess, did you hear the title of some of Andy's comedy CDs?
First CD was enough already.
I heard that. I promise you, and I've listened to B&T since I was in the second grade.
I don't need to hear talk like... I wasn't on the show, though, right?
Yeah, I think you were.
Okay. Huh, fellas? Who wants to be me? No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, but I laughed out loud in my car. A lot this morning, mm-hmm. and I haven't done that in a very, very long time.
I told you to wait 3 minutes into the show. I can't believe it. You opened up with that?
Huh?
I'm so sorry.
And Andy Kindler's the funniest.
He's the funniest man.
Person.
And his penis is huge.
Hey, that happens to be true.
That happens to be true. Look, folks, this is not something I... Do you think I want TMZ at my house at 3 in the morning?
To try to get a shot of the...
Focusing on my crotch?
Shot of the moneymaker?
Yeah, the moneymaker. I used to have a joke, but I didn't do it because everyone was doing the jokes, but about...
Everyone does jokes.
Everyone does it. No, but the thing where you're like, wait a second, maybe I'll... I can't. Oh yeah.
Hey there.
Where you?
That might be the one. The coffee you spilled in.
I know. Terrible. I still feel guilty.
I felt so bad.
Eddie came in and fixed it.
Yes, he did. He
Our engineer came in and cleaned it all up. It's
well,
good.
I actually was cleaning it too, just to show you that I care. But what was the thing I was saying?
You're doing the jokes, but people were doing the jokes, so you did. You stopped
so you
doing
the
jokes,
right?
But I had
big penis joke.
We did a penis joke.
She said you had a big.
Here's what
I
like to do.
Wow, look what we did.
I know, I'm so sorry.
I have ADD, so my mind will go on me quickly.
Are you going to talk about, you want to talk about your ADD? Are you sure? A lot of people say they have ADD.
No, is it ADHD?
I really do.
ADHD is hyperactivity. ADD is attention deficit disorder.
Yeah, I used to think it was.
Okay.
But
what, are you a nurse now?
No, but I am hip deep in this stuff right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It's okay.
Andy, what's your problem? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I had one joke, which was that I was going to write a joke about ADD, and it's no joke. I could write a joke about it, but I don't have the focus to write one. That was the joke.
Oh, okay. I see. I that see what you
joke.
Did.
That was good, right?
I like it.
I can't believe it. I don't. How did I lose the train? It must have been so important.
Well, we
what
could,
I was saying.
We could go back and well, let's today walk. Today has been a little different for the Off the Air podcast because first of all, we're always very excited to have a guest that we love and we think's funny.
I've been looking forward to this one, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. But secondly, Jess had a procedure today, mm-hmm. and it kind of
a lobotomy.
And no.
No, I had tattoos removed.
And Andy and I had to go have a bagel and. Well, actually, we had a breakfast sandwich, a very nice breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, that was, that I think was the most anti-Semitic thing that you have said all day. Andy, would you like to go out and have a, and not only that, you know what's anti-Semitic? When you go to the place and they don't even have bagels.
Did you ask him to go get a bagel?
I said.
Because I said, what did I say?
You said go.
I said take Andy to get a bagel and some coffee.
That's right.
Huh?
Only because we go to Einstein all the time. I said take him to Einstein. Where
so
the fuck
I
do you take him?
Bagel,
you take him to Starbucks.
I go to Starbucks. Here's how I work nowadays. Oh, I go to Starbucks thinking I'm at Einstein's. I don't know what's wrong with me.
What a nice going, Einstein. Way to go, Einstein.
So anyway, Andy orders a nice breakfast sandwich with
egg white turkey bacon.
No, first of all, egg white. I want to dispel. Don't get me started. This egg white thing.
There's a catchphrase.
Don't get me started. Oh, wait, is that what we were? No. Because the egg white thing is ridiculous because there's nothing wrong with the cholesterol that's in food doesn't raise your cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you taking it? The egg has a perfect situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then these people come up. I'm trying to act, do a little Lewis Black thing like I'm really upset about it.
Go.
I did the thing. I did the egg white.
I don't know if that works for
you. No, you need that cholesterol, actually, that's in the yolk of the egg.
There's
that's good for you.
It's
helpful for the digestion.
Exactly.
It's good.
It is very good for you.
Yes.
Who knows what I'm saying?
When I battled weight, it was. I always thought I ate the wrong thing.
But you conquered it.
Well, not conquered it, but I get a little help every now and then that makes me want to stop eating. But my point is...
Let's go on.
Go on. Should I go on?
What'd you look at me for?
I was hoping. I don't know what was going on.
When you laughed
and you didn't,
oh,
I looked,
you listened
was a
to the Mark Maron.
He listened to the Mark Maron podcast.
You know.
Oh, I know what's going on.
There's a little something, you know.
There's not. Don't
there's
do that.
Not?
No.
Nothing?
No. We're friends.
Come on.
Yeah.
Not just friends. You guys are great friends.
We're great friends. Talk on a regular basis.
I don't know about that.
Fuck you. Yes, we are.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe it. I can't believe the language.
I had trouble with portions is what my point was.
The food is and the portion's so small.
The food's horrible and I can't eat enough of it. Yeah.
That's the classic Jewish joke. The food is terrible. The portions are small.
No, I thought the classic one was the Jewish man's rescued from a fire. And they lay him out on the sidewalk.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the fireman takes a towel and puts it under his head. And the fireman looks at him and goes, are you comfortable? And he goes, I make a nice living.
It's a classic. And the truth is that Walter Mapp, I used to do a joke that, you ever hear that store called Sit and Sleep?
No.
No.
It's like in L.A., so I was like, I stayed there for 4 hours just to get the guy to set me up for that joke, you know? Do you like the chair? It's very nice. It's good. 3 hours later, are you comfortable? I make a nice living. Have a good show. No, but apparently Walter Matthau, and Jack Lemmon, I think it was Walter, he fell. I think it was Jack Lemmon who walked up to him and asked him that. He had a terrible fall, but he did that joke.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. In the middle of this, like,
in the middle of a real
breaking
life,
his back or
yeah.
something like that. Yeah.
Oh, I make a nice living. That's a classic. But you ate the ham this morning, is my point.
I went for the ham.
How was it?
On a ciabatta bread.
Was it good?
You can't. It was actually very delicious.
Good.
They didn't have bagels for me. They said, here's the Jew menu. I love to make fun of my Judaism.
Can I ask? This is a very insensitive question.
Oh, Jesus.
How Jew are
not a
you?
Not a pro-Hitler thing, is it? Because I'm so tired of these.
No, yeah, that's... I'm so tired of these.
Look, now, isn't it true that Hitler was...
Isn't it true?
Mein Kampf is not as bad as they say. I'm very Jewish. I'm very Jewish, but I'm not... I don't observe any of the holidays. I'm not insane.
Who was it? Jeff Garland that said... You said how... You asked him the same question. You're like, how deep does... I mean, how Jew are you? And he was like, I claim that I'm Jewish. That's as Jewish as I am.
Sounds like most of Garland's material. But now I...
Okay, Here's my second.
Wait, did he say it? He said he claimed he was Jewish?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm trying to make an anti-Garland thing in there, but nobody picked up on it.
No, that was good.
No.
It's okay.
No.
We had trouble with Jeff Garland.
He has no material.
But he
and then he blames you. Right? Is that what it was?
Did you listen to that podcast?
No, but it made me angry because I've seen Jeff Garland berate. I saw Jeff Garland berate an audience. I never forget this at the UCB Theater. Because he started going to some bit, what he calls a bit, about whatever it was.
If you say a black guy on an airplane.
No, this was like something about it. He goes, how many people here are reading right now? And nobody, like one person raised their hand. He goes, that's it. I'm not doing a show for you people if you're not readers.
And then he gets into an argument with the audience.
Yeah.
He argued a little while. But the last words I said on the podcast with Jeff Garland was, I'm going to go walk into traffic.
Yeah. Well, at least he doesn't have a big ego. That's the nice thing about Jeff Garland.
Oh, my goodness.
At least his ego's in check.
Can I get back to my second insensitive Jewish question?
Sure.
Did you go to...
But why was he yelling? Why was he yelling at you, though?
Well, he wasn't yelling, but no, he does.
He gave him a hard time. Yeah.
He picks out a person, if he's talking... Yeah. A friend of mine did their podcast, and he said he did the same thing on their podcast. He picks somebody and picks on them during the whole podcast. And
well, who did he pick on you?
He picked on me. Yeah.
And then complimented me.
And then complimented her.
Mm. Now, your question was?
the whole Jewish thing and people are out to get you kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Nazis, as you brought up earlier, that whole thing was like 70 years ago.
Oh, you're right. It's been let it go already.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What are you talking
they
about?
They never even came here. They weren't even over here. You know, there's always that fun. And I know it's kind of in jest, but I never get it.
You really. Never get what? That they're...
That people are out to get them. No one's out to get you.
Well...
Do you know Chick McGee?
I'm not out to get
He's not Jewish.
Any.
I know, but he thinks that the same thing about everybody about him.
Oh, okay. So they're just specific
no,
to...
No, Jews historically have been oppressed peoples, right?
Well, quite a while ago.
Well, no, I mean, forever. Well,
it still exists.
I'm just a hillbilly.
It's the Bible.
I used to have a joke.
I don't know.
I used to have a joke that said I'm obsessed with Hitler because I can't remember anything about the Pharaoh.
Well done.
But the Pharaoh and we
Moses
were,
and wandering in the desert.
Moses with the desert and enough
and
already
the
with the walking.
The dry air. And
Ten Commandments. I have the commandments. No, but I think it's because we've been historically been because the Jews were forced to do jobs that other people weren't allowed to do because of the religious thing of the they had to go into money lending because of certain religions can't have it's called usury or something like that. You know, it'd be nice to have a podcast with somebody who had historical knowledge who could weigh in.
I didn't know we were going to go with a story. I was going to ask you if you went to, what are they called?
Hebrew
the
school? Hebrew school? Hebrew
I went
school.
To Hebrew school. I was bar mitzvahed.
And we have said on this show many times, the little we know about being Jewish, it must be incredibly hard. For Hebrew school is like crazy
difficult.
It's
the most Christian room I've ever seen in my life.
I'm Christian Catholic.
I was brought up Reformed Jew, so that was the least customs and... As I say, my Reformed Jew, my rabbi was a Christian. Thank you very much. They're the least of. It's the Reform and the Orthodox are the most, and the Conservative is the second, and the Reform is the third. So,
okay.
And my dad's agnostic, and my mom, when I was 16 years old, became a Quaker.
No way.
Which is a great religion.
Great oats.
Really?
Great oatmeal. Great oatmeal, right?
Great oatmeal. They just kind of get together.
They get free oatmeal.
They get together and they meditate and stuff.
So really?
Do you remember your bar mitzvah was? I mean, that's a big deal.
He was one of my first. I don't remember much about my bar mitzvah, but I do remember that I killed. The rabbi couldn't follow me. I got two applause breaks during my Haftorah reading.
I see. Andy.
Did you get like huge gifts? I mean, is it?
No, made $503 for my bar mitzvah.
Is it just cash?
Well, mm-hmm. That was a low haul for my group of friends.
That's
really?
That was terrible. The Jews have. What am I? Bill Cosby? The Jews. Oh, the Jews.
Here's the thing about the Jews. Did you you grew up in a Jewish neighborhood?
I grew up in actually a very Italian neighborhood.
Oh, Italians.
But I went to Bayside High School where there were a lot of Jews, and I went to the State University of New York at Binghamton in upstate New York. Every other person was a Jew, and the person who wasn't was in charge of looking over the Jews. Then there was somebody who wasn't Jewish. So, yeah, no, I grew up, I mean, people say, that's the thing, when you're talking about the Nazis and what have you, I did not feel, I didn't feel oppressed in Queens, New York.
Right.
It wasn't like, you know, like, oh, you won't, like, you know, the Orthodox Jews picked on me for not wearing a yarmulke. No, so I never in my life saw a lot of, until today, in this podcast, have I seen a lot of anti-Semitism. Well, you guys are bringing it hot and heavy.
Bringing it hard.
I mean, you're basically saying, what are you guys complaining about
now?
That Hitler thing is, I mean, it's been 50, 70, 80 years. It blew over. Well, the other thing that people don't know about Jews is that the Jews, one of the reasons why there was the creation of the state Israel was that nobody would take the Jews. Nobody wanted the Jews. Even the United States turned back a boatloads of Jews. Which sounds like a great show. Boatloads of Jews.
So they started their own country.
They started their own country.
Well, they're
which
trying.
Was, I used to do a thing about how, I can't do any material without introducing the material, but I used to do a thing about how there was all this propaganda when I went to religious school. They'd say, now Andy, not Andy, they go, now students, you know, you've heard that about the problems in the Middle East, but where we're living, nobody wanted to live there. I mean, they were happy to go. They were nomads, and so And then the other thing we would hear was that we brought water to the desert. That's the other thing we were taught. We irrigated the desert.
Is that true?
I don't know. The other thing we heard was, now you may have heard we had something to do with Jesus' death, but you know, it happened during Passover, so we would have been in temple. Does that not sound plausible, kids?
Come on, kids.
Are you with me? We had nothing to do with it, right?
I've been confused in general by religion. I was a Methodist, or I guess I still am a Methodist.
Softball Methodist,
so I could play softball. And my mother made me go to church.
But she didn't go.
By myself.
Yeah.
Well, what was that all about?
I don't know. I don't know what they were. That's the wonderfulness
tip of
my
the iceberg,
childhood that I'm trying to glide right past.
So where does that leave you spiritually?
You know, spiritually, I actually have been thinking quite a lot about going to a Buddhist temple to see what that's about. There's something about that that's kind of appealing to me.
Yeah.
I mean very. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested. First of all, booty.
Big, you want to go there?
Big booty ho.
The booty temple?
Buddha is a little chubby.
Yeah.
He's not, though.
I like that. No, at first he wasn't. No, but he...
No, I don't think he ever was. I think that's a...
That's a caricature or
something
that's
real.
Been perpetuated?
He was, yeah, if you... And, you know...
Well, he's smiling. I know that.
He's smiling, yeah.
I like the smile.
The picture I have that I just bought, skinny Buddha.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You know there's skinny Buddha and overweight Buddha? Did you know that,
I don't
that,
think
Andy?
That the overweight Buddha is real, because if you read when he... I mean, he fasts for...
Well, he lost everything before you can have anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think
you got
that,
Andy?
Well, no, I actually, I'm a fan of the whole Buddhism thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about anything. So after the second or third sentence, it starts to deteriorate for me in knowledge-wise. But I like the idea of the concept of not getting attached to things, I think is a very, I listen a lot to Alan Watts. Have you ever heard that name?
Mm-mm.
He's a guy who lived, it was like in the 60s and 70s, he's from England, but he was very good at interpreting like Eastern religions for Western people, so I listened to a lot of his things.
Is that with two T's?
It's Watts, so he describes a lot of interpretive for Western minds, but that whole idea of, you know, not getting attached, but having equal attachment, too, mm-hmm. That's the other thing from... Another book that was great was Be Here Now, Ram Dass.
No.
Ram Dass was...
Be Here Now.
Yeah, it was Richard Alpert was his name. He was Timothy Leary's partner at Harvard,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so he was one of the first people who did the LSD stuff, and then Ram Dass changed his name to Ram Dass, and the rest is history. No, I'm as everyone who's heard me on any kind of podcast or anything in the last month or two, is I'm on the warpath against the new atheists.
What's that all about? There's new atheists?
Yeah, that's like these people who are saying, like Bill Maher's a perfect example of a new atheist guy who's saying, like, not only is all religion terrible, but the Muslims are worse. That's their message.
What?
That's what Bill Maher said a couple of weeks ago on his show.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad I don't watch.
Yeah, don't watch his show. He's a terrible human being in every way.
What have we always said? This is...
Is it kind of sued for the saying that Bill Maher is a terrible
human
being?
No, he's the only person that's not welcome on this podcast.
He's a terrible guy.
One of the second or third or fourth... Early on, part of our mission statement was Bill Maher is not welcome on this podcast.
Oh,
ever.
I'm so glad. But it's like I kind of like get in trouble on Twitter all the time because... People don't like to hear what I have to say. But this whole idea that, you know, like in this time, but first of all, the whole idea that anybody pulls, like a lot of these new atheists, like Dawkins is one, Richard Dawkins and this guy Sam Harris and Hitchens before he died was one. But one of the things that they say is like they always like try to point to this the Bible or the Quran, or they point at different passages. But that's not what spirituality is to me. It's like... The amount of people who believe the Bible literally or is very small. Those are fundamentalists. Mm-hmm. So it's like these people are like, you know, Bill Maher, like, oh yeah, like I really believe there's an old man in the clouds, and like it's almost like when you were 12 years old and you realized that it wasn't meant to be taken literally. You know?
My problem with Bill is that he forgets, or I it's my opinion. The way I watch him, or I've seen him a couple times, he's all of a sudden just so self-important. And he was a stand-up comedian. I mean,
it's the same gay. It's the same way with the guy on Fox News, O'Reilly.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly. Yeah.
You were on A Current Affair. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, that's where you started.
Yeah.
I don't know who decided that you are you can make all of.
I understand why they're, oh, well, you've got to be kind of an asshole to do this job or whatever, or appear that way, but they're both way too good at it. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the thing about Bill Maher, I mean, I'm upset. Like, I get obsessed with things I can't stand. So, like, to me, Bill Maher, to me.
Wouldn't it be nice if we get obsessed with things we like?
Well, I do that too, but okay. It's not as usually as. some people on Twitter, like, say, why don't you. Everything is negative. Well, that's not true. I mean, I say positive things, but it's usually more compelling when if you're a comedian, you're saying something that has a little bite to it, as opposed to I like grilled cheese sandwiches.
I do.
You do. Maybe I'll open up another account for just the positive stuff. But like, I focus on the fact that here's a guy who has been doing stand up for 30 years. You say he's a stand up. I think he's a terrible by the book. A terrible stand-up comic, and it was. They showed this.
I agree there. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know that David Steinberg show where he interviews comics.
Yes.
Showtime.
Yes.
So he's interviewing Bill Maher, and they show like a clip of Bill Maher. He's on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He's still doing the same thing he does, which is he laughs all the way. He laughs before he tells the joke. He laughs during the joke. He laughs after the joke. It's the worst. So here's the thing. He is not. If he was a better stand-up, we wouldn't be burdened with him having to try to find a different. He would just be a successful stand-up. But because he was so awful at that, he got this niche as the guy who's in your face. And the thing that's terrible there is that he has no. Some things he knows about, but a lot of things he knows nothing about. And here's what I think he likes to do. He likes to provoke. He thinks if he says something provocative, it equals something good.
Mm-hmm. He's an agitator. You know?
He's an agitator.
He has a panel. Doesn't he invite people on his show and they all chat?
Have you ever been invited on his show?
I was on his show twice. And when his show went to HBO, I actually really loved the show. Like a lot of times I criticize the things that sometimes I liked, you know, when that's almost more disappointing to me. I like
this show so much, and now it's turned into this.
Right, like I loved early Adam Sandler, like his stand-up and stuff.
Yeah.
So then when he started to do these movies, I would make fun of him, and then he didn't talk to me for 10 years. But but it's like it's if someone's terrible all the time, it's not that interesting to me that they're still terrible. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I thought his show, Bill Maher's show, for a time period was an interesting show where there's an exchange of ideas, but very quickly it became just him railing about these things that are just so, and I'm always surprised that people don't pick up on it more. Like, why is he allowed to go on and basically say Muslims are worse people than, you know, than other religions? And then nobody seems to react to it.
Because the people that watch him are the people that agree with him.
Yeah, but how about Rachel Maddow? All these people who embrace, he's like, he's embraced by the media as some kind of like.
Really?
Yeah, it does.
I think he is kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes on the right, they'll point to him as, you know, like the worst thing I think he did was giving Obama, because I love Obama, but he gave Obama $1 million and everybody was like saying, you know, how this guy, they would say all these obnoxious things. Right. And it's like, give the money back. And people were like picking him out as if he was like a big Obama spokesman almost. But he never was. You know, he just doesn't, he hates everything. So it's all about him.
It's only appropriate that we all hate him.
He's really not coming on the show now.
No, there's no way.
There's no way.
No, he would make a big point of not knowing about the
He also does a thing where he's a terrible tweet. He's just a terrible tweet.
I don't follow him. I blocked him. You know, you can do that. It really makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You go find, I like the Dallas Cowboys website because I'm a big Redskins fan. I blocked their website.
Why'd you block Marr?
I just don't care for him. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't want anything. And every now,
if someone retweets him, you don't want to see it.
But yeah.
Is that what it is? It's the retweeting? Yeah. Okay.
That's absolutely what it is.
Yeah.
Andy's not blocked. Andy has full reign.
Full reign. But he says he tweets terribly, but then like he's also on the heel to go, Twitter doesn't matter, you know, because he can't do it well.
Well, no, but you know, and you know he's not really tweeting either. I mean, I'm sure
I think some of his things are his tweets. I do, yeah. You can tell because they're poorly written.
You ever gotten a Twitter fight with anyone, Andy?
Yes.
Isn't it hard not to get into it? Every day I see something that I want to call this guy and go, what the fuck is your problem?
Mm-hmm.
Or girl, or whoever the heck it
is.
Every day, but I don't. I'm really good at not doing that, but boy, I want to.
Well, there's two things I gauge it by. First of all, I don't want to get shot by someone because one out of every 5,000 people could be literally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that. And then, but the certain things that they really bother me, like when people... Like a example would be like, I'll make fun of Curb Your Enthusiasm or something. The classic thing is like, where's your show? You know? So it's like, my whole thing was like, you know, if like you were at a restaurant, you didn't like the food. I don't like the food. Oh, really? Where's your French restaurant? Where's your Thai chicken salad? You know? To me, it's the worst thing. It's like, either agree with what I'm saying or don't agree with what I'm saying, but just
you
the idea that
respond.
People telling you what you should tweet about or what you should say,
right.
I find very annoying. So I do either block people. I heard Tom Green talk about it, and I thought that was his thing, was he just blocks right off the bat. So I will, like, if I know I won't get into it with some, and then sometimes I do get into it, like, mm-hmm. I try and do it in a light way, and then sometimes it works out. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in general, it's a ridiculous thing because it's like, it brings up stuff about your own personality, really. It's like, why am I so concerned with what this person, I don't know who they are,
That's
thinks.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's been funny with this podcast because when Chick got going on Twitter, he wasn't quite prepared to get that sort of response from other people, and so he was blocking people, probably
constantly.
Dallas Cowboys fans, and then
pretty much
then
the
podcast
time.
Came around and they're like, I love your podcast, don't block me,
don't block me anymore,
they'll email,
so they'll email and ask for forgiveness,
and they know
Twitter
Jess
forgiveness
is on, so they'll tweet her and go, hey, can you have Chick unblock me? And of course the answer is no.
You blocking just like for because they were against your team type of thing?
A lot of
people say really awful things.
But
too.
I guarantee you the people I block now, the stuff they say is unflippin' believable.
Yeah, that's the thing that's very disturbing is that there are people who are and they will try to provoke you too. That's the weirdest thing in the world.
A negative attention. I don't.
Yeah, then they retweet
that.
The thing you say back to them if it's
too. Right.
That's what I've always done. If somebody says something really awful to me, I just retweet it.
And then everybody...
And then people who like me
piles on
that guy, and I don't have to say anything. Right. It's kind of childish, but it makes me feel better. And that's all that matters.
I like being a child. What about you, Jason? You like being a child?
I'm still trying to be... You know me. I try to...
Oh, that's right.
I try to be immature.
I try to be immature.
I do.
That's the thing.
I just had a milestone birthday, and what did I do? I went and rode my bike.
60.
That makes me feel like a young kid.
60.
That's good, though.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I work here, so that keeps me immature.
So who are the comedians you hang out with, Andy?
Who are the comedians I hang out with, Andy? This is my new thing, is I guess repeat the question.
Were you just somewhere with Mark Maron?
I saw that on Twitter. Yeah, Mark.
Mark
I hang out with because I did, like Mark, we did a tour together called, I came up with the name, so I'm very proud of it. It's called Stand Uppity. and the tagline was "Stand up to the comedy that makes you feel better about yourself and superior to others." And it was a tour with me, Mark, and Eugene Marin.
Oh, okay.
It's not Eugene Marin. That
Eugene
Merman.
Eugene Merman.
So then, Mark and I. So and then I knew Mark. I've known Mark in one way or another since like the late '80s, early '90s. We've had like we had some friction and stuff, but now we just couldn't.
Yeah, that's Mark.
I know. It was like now we couldn't be like couldn't. I just love the guy. Mm-hmm. So much, and it's his whole personality just cracks me up now. When especially when he gets upset now,
mm-hmm. I have love you watched when he the trailer for his show?
I haven't seen the one that's coming up. I'm on two episodes of his show.
Oh, you are good.
Yeah, cool. So.
As a guest or
as me?
As you, but are you like you're being on, interviewed, or are you just the, a friend
yeah.
hanging out?
We did both. Basically in the show, I'm his friend in the show. Mm-hmm. But then one time I was on a podcast and. Like he, you know, since I'm a comedian, right. So that he interviewed me on the podcast, and then, but it is me playing me.
Cool.
So mostly the podcast people who are used, that could be a whole separate thing. Like I think Garland was on one,
right? And he was like they weren't really,
yeah,
friends. He was just a guest on the podcast,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You talking about the way Jeff Garland is with everybody?
When the Garland podcast went out there, I can't say how many comedians called me or texted me or emailed me going, Jeff, don't worry about what Jeff Garland did. That's just the way he is. And
he's unbelievable. Talk about a guy who would benefit from not having one more day of success. You know what I'm saying? He needs to not have his ego be bigger.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was good at making me feel good. He was, yeah, mm-hmm. But that's probably a part of it. Yeah,
I see.
I have breasts.
So there was a, I have breasts too, unfortunately.
Big old boobies.
Unfortunately. So this sounds nasty what he was doing. Nasty.
Okay,
can we talk about?
I have this, speaking of comedian friends, I don't know why I have this, and I think it's a general, people think you and Patton Oswalt are like best buddies.
Is that true?
It just seems like you guys would be the best buddies. I don't know why.
There's no way that you can answer this. We've been friends for many, many years.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We wrote...
Have you ever worked together?
Yeah, well, you know, I was on the comedians of... I wasn't one of the comedians of comedy, but I was one of the people on their live shows that they did.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I've known him forever, and we used to do, for like a couple of years, we did the... Montreal news... We did like a newsletter at Montreal, the festival, kind of like a... making fun of everybody at the festival. So.
Okay,
but I he started with a different group of people, like Blaine Kapach and a whole bunch of people that he started with. But people think I'm him. I get this all the time.
Really? No kidding.
I cannot tell you how many times the craziest example was someone come up to me on the street and said that they love me in Ratatouille.
And you said,
and I said, I couldn't even. I was confused. I was on Everybody Loves Raymond, and he was on King of Queens. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
right.
Some looking,
right.
Yeah, Ray Romano, Kevin James, kind of that.
Yeah.
Synergy. Yeah.
So it was the last episode of Raymond, or whatever. And so they introduced this like a red carpet thing, which is always terrible. And so they introduced me as the red carpet, and they go, "Ladies and gentlemen, from the King of Queens, Patton Oswalt." Right. So people start to take my picture. I go, "No." It's not Patton. So now it's worse. Now they don't want to take my picture at all. At least when I was Patton Oswalt for that minute. It was exciting.
Everybody wanted to take your picture when you were Patton Oswalt.
No. It's not. I'm not Patton Oswalt. Oh, okay. Well, move it along then, pal.
So who did you start up with? Who was kind of your comedian buddies?
Well, I started with... I don't know if I started with...
Where's your home club? I love that question. Where would you consider...
I started... Well... I grew up in Queens, but I would go back in the late 80s, 90s. I would go back and stay with my parents who were still in the same house I grew up in Queens. And I would stay with them, and I worked all the New York clubs. But I started in L.A., and the first home club was Igby's.
Igby's?
Remember that club?
I-G-B-Y-S. I've heard that name.
And that was one of the... Jan Smith was the owner of the club, and he used to work with the Ice House people.
Oh, I
Ice House was another club that I started out with. Al Lubell.
Yep. Me, Al Lubell.
Me, Al Lubell.
Yeah.
and Janine Garofalo. Mm-hmm. But we all came from different things, though. We all came from different backgrounds. And my mind goes blank when I can think of who. Like currently today, there's, like, I think it's now a renaissance for stand-up comedy today. Like, I love Mulaney. I love Adomian. I mean, there's a lot of Maria Bamford. Maria. There's so many great comics right now, I think.
Have you ever seen a movie called Lucky Numbers?
No.
With John Travolta and Lisa Kudrow and Ed O'Neill. It's about how Lisa Kudrow is a weather girl. And she's not the weather girl. She picks the lottery balls.
Mm-hmm.
And John Travolta is the weatherman. And they find a way it's set in the late 80s. They find a way to rig the lottery drawing. And Maria is a waitress, where John Travolta is kind of this super celebrity in this tiny little town.
It's like a Denny's.
Yeah, he has his own table at Denny's, and Maria's is his waitress, and it's
I gotta see that movie.
Yeah,
you just watched that with Mayor Bear.
I watched it with Mayor Bear about a month ago. Yeah, it was it's a really good movie, and I love Maria.
She is the best,
and I can't wait for her to be close so she can be on the podcast. Not that you're not being great, Andy, but I'm just saying.
I mean, I brought my B game. This is you know, when I forgot what I was building up to the greatest story of all time, and I forgot what I was saying.
Right there at the beginning.
And then I went to an 8-minute funk. I was like, what have I done? I've ruined this podcast now. No. I've ruined it, and I've ruined their relationship with Jeff Garland.
We're just sitting around talking, but in all fairness, we went to see Jeff that night at Morty's, and we poked our head in afterwards, and he was very kind and said he wanted to do the podcast again when he was back in town.
So. They say Hitler also could be very charming. Charming when he's off the clock.
I can't. I know it was odd, and our podcast with him was odd.
I still haven't listened to it.
You haven't?
Nope.
I listened to it.
Not a consonant.
I've always liked him.
I have too.
Oh.
I've always liked him. But as Andy,
how good was his show that night?
As Andy said...
It was.
Hang on, we'll get back to that. Okay. As Andy said, I think that's really why it hit me so hard is because I love Jeff Garland. I love Curb. I love that whole kind of.
But that
I love
goes
Larry.
Back to, that
I
goes
love,
back to, whenever when I worked here, whenever anybody that I liked was here, I never wanted to meet them because I was afraid that they would wreck it. They would wreck how much I loved them. And right. And this is a horrible example, I know, but I grew up watching Pauly Shore movies, and when Pauly Shore was here...
I wouldn't admit that.
I couldn't go. I wouldn't go in the green room. I stayed in my office.
It's too nerve-wracking to be around all of that talent. Did you see Pauly Ticks? Did you see Pauly Ticks?
I didn't.
Oh, my God. How can you live? It's Pauly Shore... What does he do best? Political material. That's exactly right. It's called Pauly Ticks.
No.
It's on Showtime. It's on one of those Showtime channels where I think you pay them to do a special. And then Michael Steele is on there, the ex-GOP RNC. It's unbelievable. It is literally unbelievable to see Pauly do his thing.
Are you serious?
It's so terrible.
I'll just watch In the Army Now.
I mean, we're not talking about an Encino Man.
No.
Or a...
In the Army Now.
When he was... I heard him on Marin's podcast talk about, like, how he came up with his hook.
What's his hook?
Hey, buddy.
That one?
That's
right. There it is.
Yeah, that's I didn't remember that.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah,
so like he said, one day we were all sitting around watching TV, and I said, hey, bud. And then I stopped in the middle. I said, and then I was like, and I'm listening to it. I swear to God,
that
I couldn't.
Didn't even, happen.
It did happen. It was on Mark Maron's thing. And I was like, what is his hook line? And then I remembered, buddy, doop, where he stops in the middle.
And then something about a weasel. Is that right?
It's the weasel.
The wheeze.
Does he make a weasel sound?
Yeah.
That one?
Mm-hmm. You don't still watch those movies, do you?
No.
Because there's a great director's cut.
That was her no that means yes.
You still do?
If it's on TBS, I might watch it. it's the nostalgia of it. My brother and I just watched them. We were 7. We were stupid kids. And
sure. Sometimes you can watch it too if you've been laughing too much and you want to calm down a little bit. Mm-hmm.
We also watched, we watched the Dana Carvey special. I remember that being the first Comedy Central special that we watched. Do you remember that when
Chopping Broccoli?
Chopping Broccoli. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we watched it over and over again. Mm-hmm. And my dad, and then he.
So you did. We did watch some funny things.
I watched a lot of. Yeah,
I think the Dana Carvey wasn't. I mean, the other one wasn't funny. What's the other one?
Paula Shore.
My dad would take us.
Kid. That was what Paula Shore was made for. Was kids.
Yeah, exactly. It was a big deal. So I think that it's just a warm and fuzzy feeling when I see him. Yeah.
Just when I was a kid, it was Jerry Lewis who was making movies.
Okay, but he was funny.
Let's go back to Jeff Gollin for 1 second. And then we'll wrap it up. No, because here's the thing.
You asked how was his show last night.
I don't even know. Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, before you say that.
Go.
No, you go. Then I'll remember. Go.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because you forgot last time.
No, I won't forget.
I've never seen a show like his because I sort of do what Jeff did. I don't have a response. When I host comedy shows, I go out for 10 or 15 minutes, say hi to everybody.
Okay.
Stuff happens.
The key to that is 10 or 15 minutes.
Jess used to run our comedy tour, the Bob and Tom comedy tour. She'd make all the arrangements, get all the comedians together, all that stuff. And I've been doing the stand-up tour. It's sort of true.
Kind of.
I don't know what's a lie or it's the truth, you people.
I've been doing this a long time. I've seen a lot of comedy shows. I've never seen anything like Jeff Garland's.
Mm-hmm.
But that's...
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone at a comedy show that I've gone to get up and leave.
What do you mean?
I've never seen anyone
walk
out.
He left or...
There were like 20 or 25 people that left.
Yeah.
While he was on stage, he's
such a rebel, man. Hey, man, you think you're coming to see me and that I have to produce for you? This is about you experiencing Jeff Garland, man. Don't you dig it?
That can't be true.
What were you going to say?
Well, that can't be what Jeff's thinking, is it?
What is he thinking? Is he thinking, I can't believe my carefully honed material isn't going over?
Well, there were parts of it. Why am I defending Jeff Garland?
Right.
But it's true. There were parts of it that were funny.
Hey, nobody would ever argue that he's not a funny. That's not a funny person. He is a funny person, but a lot of it is just a bunch of bullshit. But here's the thing: when he came in, when he was mean to you during the, I haven't even listened to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can you come into somebody else's environment and be mean to them? That's not acceptable.
Well, to be honest, the first thing that he did, he sat down and he started eating a bagel.
Yeah.
He was
a day old bagel,
and he had his mouth full of food, and he was.
That's nice. So, in other words,
But granted, I mean, it's a podcast and it's casual and it's supposed to be fun, but that kind of. I'm from the Midwest, and.
Your questions are very.
Stupid?
Underhanded. Do you want to say that?
I was trying to underhanded evil or underhanded trying to set him up for things.
I don't know what he says to set you off, but everything is, you're like, why do you think, you just kind of came out of nowhere. Didn't you say that at some point?
I think Dick was just a little nervous.
I was a little nervous because I liked him so much before the podcast.
Yeah.
And,
what's not to like?
No, and then he was in Second City with Amy Sedaris and Stephen Colbert, and I said, oh, that's a great class. And he goes, is that what you're going to call that, a class? I don't think we were in a class.
I think he should have been throttled right now, just taken outside. And he's a big guy. I understand that. But we get a few guys together and hold him down. Just hold him and go, you're not Larry David. Look at me. You're not Larry David. Okay? When you do your own curve, you're going to act like an egomaniacal, insufferable bore. Now get up and act like a normal human being. Act like who you are. The luckiest man in show business. You've written 4 complete jokes. Now get up. And be nice to everyone and don't eat food in front of them.
Yeah, that was, he needs talking to. Yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah.
But I can't do it because I'm easily crushed by like another man could come over and pound me into the ground.
Have you ever been in a fight?
You know, I've never been in a fight. I've been in almost fights, but I got so scared of fighting. Because I was always couldn't intimidate people, and I was always worried about it, that I took martial arts because of my fear of being beaten up.
As a kid?
No, I took it starting from 1995 to now. I've been studying Taekwondo because of my fear.
Really?
Yeah.
Just so that you're prepared if you ever do
get in
a
fight. I just felt
like
I couldn't go the rest of my life if my wife got attacked or something like that, that I could not go the rest of my life being intimidated by my own lack of ability to take care of myself. So that's why I studied it. But so no,
how proactive.
I have not been in a fight.
Maybe you can take care of Jack.
No, I don't think, because now we're getting into like a, it's like one of those things, like it's going to be a pay-per-view. No, I don't want to fight.
All right, you were
going
to say something.
I'm not going to fight Jeff Garland. That's it. No.
You were
going
to say something before.
I don't know.
I interrupted.
Oh.
You said you
Oh, no, remember? I did say that. About yeah. that. When it comes into your environment, it should be nice. Okay. It's your environment.
See, I expected like in your high school days, you did the I'll be funny and that way people won't intimidate me.
I did. In fact, I would talk my, but the thing I learned was, like, when, I'll never forget this at summer camp. I was trying to get these two kids to fight. I must have, you know, it's like you remember things you did when you were a kid. You're like, what kind of a person was mm-hmm. I? But, like, the one kid didn't realize the other kid. I was, like, basically doing this. You didn't take that from them? You didn't take that from him? And then they ended up turning on, realizing I was, and they turned and they chased me down. And
it's like a Brady Bunch.
It was like, so, but what I realized that a lot of times, like, people who are not great with their mouths, they will not, after a while, they won't continue that way. They'll take it physical. Like, I always think, like, oh, I'll say something clever. You'll say something clever. But right. no. So I've become more careful as I've gotten older because I don't want to, you know, get someone to beat me because I'm being, you know, into thinking, oh, well, I'm just talking. Mm-hmm. The point I was making is that sometimes words can be like, you can use words in a way that would egg someone on. Mm. But I don't have any desire to fight.
Ever been threatened by another comedian?
I've been, I don't think.
Speaking of
Well,
provoking.
One of my first jokes that I ever did was based on the fact that it's a totally true story. It was so depressing. I could, it's sad to think of it now. It was like in third grade. And the guy goes, I'm gonna kick your ass. I'll meet you at 3 o'clock in the playground. And so my whole thing was, oh, yeah, I'm going to make an appointment to get my ass kicked. That sounds great. Oh, let me see. At 2:45, I'm getting stomped on. Can we push that back to 3:15? But it came out of like total terror because what he would do is, knowing that I did not want to fight him at 3, he would then show off in front of all these like girls mm-hmm. to show him how he could get me like all upset. So it was just like a nightmare type of thing. But I've learned now that it was not – I've learned now that I should not be – ashamed of my own fears when I was a kid. So
weren't there fights at your high school?
Yeah,
in the park,
girls.
Did, the girl. You weren't ever in the fights though, were you?
The most I've ever been in a fight was a girl pulled a chair out from underneath me in sixth grade and I shoved her. I was mad. She embarrassed me.
How about you? Did you fight?
I've had one fight in my life.
Wow.
In fifth grade. And
he's your best friend.
It was David, and he's still my best friend to this day.
Wow,
my oldest and dearest friend, probably. Yeah, well, no, not probably. He is, but it was just stupid, and the teachers had to come and break it up. And mm-hmm. but it was a spur of the moment thing. It wasn't an appointment fight like you had at 3.
We had a lot of appointment fights. There's a country road, and everybody would go there, and we would block off the intersection with our cars so that the police, if the police got called, they couldn't get to the fight.
Oh, man.
This is almost like...
People could die that way.
Organized right? crime sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. There was another girl. There was a girl fight at the park one time, Southeast Way. And yeah.
Those are the best.
How you feel about
it?
That,
horrible. It was horrible. It was a preppy girl and a ghetto girl.
Preppy girl had no chance.
No, that is not what happened. What? The ghetto girl was the ghetto girl goes, "You gonna talk shit now, bitch?" And the preppy girl just popped her in the face and down she fell and just jumped on top of her and just beat her up. And that ghetto girl never came back to school.
Maybe you shouldn't have called her the ghetto.
Hot stuff, girls fighting, Andy? Pillow fights?
Yeah,
and panties?
That is hot. Guys are so. Now I remember. Now I remember. They're so stupid. What I was going to say was this is what I was going to say was that I actually had written a joke about, you know, like the thing where you take the sexual dysfunction stuff.
Viagra.
Right. And so if it goes past 4 hours, mm-hmm. so I had this
You're
joke,
to
but
call
then everybody, yeah, but I had a joke, but everyone did, so I had to drop it. My joke was like, I start making plans at 3.5 hours. You know, I was like. Cancel my trip to the art museum. That guy must really love Miro. So I thought I made it into an Archie joke. Can you believe this whole time that was digging at me to remember that stupid joke?
That was like 45 minutes
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, but why is it in my mind, I go, oh, I'm on a roll here when I tell this story. And then I make it worse by going, oh, I can't remember what that is. Now I've ruined the entire hour.
That's not true.
It isn't true. It isn't true. But let's get back to no
girlfight.
Are you going
to
say Jeff Garland?
Poor Jeff Garland.
Yeah, poor Jeff Garland.
Poor Jeff Garland.
Poor Jeff Garland.
You know what Jeff Garland needs to do, Andy? He's probably has a filter. We'd like to welcome a brand new sponsor here to the Off-Air
really?
Podcast.
I'm interested in hearing about
See,
this.
See, this they are. It's monthlyfilterclub.com.
Oh. Is this for my water?
Here's what happens. Close.
No. Thanks for.
Oh.
Thanks for
filtering.
How about
I
your
like,
furnace?
I like filtering.
How about your the furnace? Furnace filter? How about that?
Oh.
How often do you change yours?
If I should get a furnace, I'd filter it.
You don't have a furnace?
What kind of a house?
Air conditioning?
Well, I live in Los Angeles.
Air conditioning?
No, air conditioning.
What is a furnace
heater?
Exactly?
Well, if you don't live in L.A., like most of us don't, I'll ask you this question. When was the last time you changed your heating and cooling system filter? Huh? Well, depending on your filter type, changing your filter on a monthly basis is the most important thing you can do to extend the life of your system and improve air quality. It's kind of like changing the oil in your car.
Oh.
You wouldn't drive around without it. You know what a car is, right? You
yes.
know L.A., right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I have a guy who comes in, doesn't he?
Dirty filters are a no-no. Go to monthlyfilterclub.com. They ship one high-quality pleated air filter to your door as you need it. Cheaper than you would pay at the big hardware stores. And you'll never forget to change the filter again.
Oh, your filter you're talking about.
The filter.
Yeah, I change those regularly.
Shipping is free at monthlyfilterclub.com. Pleated filters are made in the USA. USA. So you can breathe again just like a bald eagle.
That does not say
that. Did you throw that in there at the end?
Just like a bald.
Think about it. It's really, I love it.
Breathe just like a bald eagle?
Yeah.
Breathe like a bald eagle.
Who wrote that? Who wrote that last line? Did you write that last
time? No. Our sponsor did.
Oh. Our sponsor breathed like a bald eagle.
Really?
Be
I never thought of bald eagle's respiratory system. Have you? Oh, not man.
Really. I will now.
I'm getting a lot of air on like a bald eagle.
Every time I change my filter.
Be sure to check out the monthlyfilterclub.com commercial with Donnie Baker, plus the 100th new club member that uses promo code off the air. Listen to this.
Okay.
After this podcast is released, you win a Donnie Baker autographed air filter.
Are you kidding me?
That is the truth.
That's awesome.
Wait, who's you're Donnie Baker. Well, what have I heard the name Donnie Baker
Donnie
for?
Baker's on the Bob and Tom show.
Yeah, but who plays Donnie Baker?
Ron does. Ron Sexton. He was on one of our podcasts. If you'd like to go look at the
catalog. And if you order a filter, he will come to your house.
No.
No,
he'll autograph it.
No. Only the 100th person.
The 100th person.
Let's not. Don't get carried away, folks. The chances of you getting the autographed filter.
This is all explained at monthlyfilterclub.com. Save time, save money, save your heating and cooling system. Monthlyfilterclub.com. And if you love the Off the Air podcast, show those folks some love and go order your filter. It's very simple. You just open the door. There's your filter.
Boom. You can tell them how often you want it, and it shows up when you need it.
You pop it right in.
Really?
I don't answer my door, but hopefully it'll
three
be
months?
A mailing thing.
Whenever. Mm-hmm.
I have to change my filter every month. They set me up, and it comes every month.
Good for you.
And I slide it in there.
I'm gonna order mine as soon as this podcast airs.
Oh, unbelievable. Could we sound more stilted about this?
I'm excited.
I am excited, too.
What are you good at around the house, Andy? Are you good at something around the house?
Well, if I'm not doing one thing, I'm not doing something else.
I see you and your wife as being bohemian. You sit around and you drink wine and you talk about events of the day.
That's not true.
Unbelievable. It's like you have a camera over there.
What?
My wife and I, we're like bohemians. We walk around the house and I have like a wine in one of those wine skins that you bring to a ball game.
And you're nude. Yeah.
She insists on drinking scotch with in a flask with her initials on it.
Did she get that at a wedding?
That was our only wedding registry were all drinking items.
Is
for a whole
right?
wedding registry. You could buy us
flasks.
Decanters.
Yeah.
Cocktail shakers.
Coasters with your initial on them.
The rabbis. Decanters.
Wow.
Folks, come on. There's been more anti-Semitism and Semitism
on this
show.
Have you ever seen The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond?
Oh, no. I can't even believe it exists.
Papa, I want to sing. You haven't heard? You haven't seen? Laurence
is
Olivier.
It
yeah, Laurence Olivier plays
Larry
his dad.
Larry Olivier's in there?
Larry is his dad, and Neil Diamond is the jazz singer.
Talk about, if I was like, you know how you always hate how the studios, like, they always won't let something be made? I would not allow that movie to be made if I was in the studio. I will not green light that.
How did you?
Are they remaking The Jazz Singer?
Well, they remade it. How many times?
The original. Oh. Yeah.
So who's the original?
I don't know.
Well, Al Jolson was in one, but that was a remake, right?
Yeah, that was a remake of an earlier one. So
how
this
many have there been?
Third.
I know. I'm, yeah,
Neil Diamond, I think, is third or fourth. I think
it's
is
such
this
a
like
rich
the Fast
story.
And Furious movies. They just can't make enough.
Fast and Furious. Yeah, like I think that. Vin Diesel's in.
He's in the last one. He's the new Jazz Singer.
Jazz Singer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Vin Diesel fan.
How did you and your wife meet?
At the Improv in Los Angeles.
No kidding.
Is she a comedian?
No, she's a photographer.
Oh.
And she's a brilliant photographer. She doesn't talk about herself in glowing terms. And
so
if
you
she
do.
If she knew who I was, she would she'd be very angry. She
she'd
likes
hit
to keep
you
a,
with her flask.
She likes to keep a low profile.
Have you seen Andy's headshots? They're gorgeous.
Any picture you've seen of me is by her. She also took a lot of the iconic shots of that we see of Mitch Hedberg are all hers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is your wife's name?
I can't reveal that. Okay. Susan Maljan, M-A-L-J-A-N. She did not take my name. I did not take her name. We don't live together. We don't talk to each other.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. We're very much in love. We love each other. I'm reading from a script now. She is the most wonderful human being I have ever met. And she treats me badly because I act bad.
How long have you been together?
We have been together since.
She hits me because she loves me.
She hits my nose with a rolled up newspaper because I won't pay attention. We met in 1992. We fought like cats and dogs. We almost broke up.
God, don't do that.
I acted unreasonably for a couple of years. I thought I'd be Mr. Playboy, Mr. Hotshot, Mr. Ladies Man. I'll have a couple of wives. You'll be a wife. This lady will be a wife. Let's keep this baby going. Casual sex. Let's have it all with the guys like. Open marriage. The whole thing. But then I settled down and I became, I told my wife if it wasn't for her, I'd be in a clinic somewhere.
So did you crawl back at one point in a way?
No, we really were both hesitant to be in relationships because we had been in relationships. So we both were, I'd say, guilty of pushing each other away because that's the easiest thing to do sometimes. You push. Has everyone left? What happened?
Sometimes the hardest thing to do, to do the work and stay together, right, Andy?
I absolutely believe that.
Now he gets it.
That the intimacy, no, men in general, not
or
all
a male
men.
Like personality. Go ahead.
Male like personality. Men in general.
Stop
have,
saying I'm a man.
I didn't say that.
No, but you say that my behavior is.
This is the one podcast we're going to do where we don't talk about us.
Okay.
Oh, come
unless,
on.
Watch this, Andy.
Go ahead.
Unless you want to.
Do I ever want to?
No, you never.
Oh, so you wanted to work on things, but you were like, let's not talk about it. You're like, let's talk about it. And you're like, let's not talk about it. I'd like to bring it up.
You know what our motto is, Andy? It's complicated.
It's
just
complicated.
Just go with it, which is Andy Andy Sandler. Adam Sandler's movies, actually.
No, it's not.
It's complicated. No.
No, it's not.
Just go with it.
Yeah, I couldn't follow the plot in Jack and Jill. How did that, it's too complex.
Just go with it. Isn't that Adam Sandler?
I think it's Nike.
Just go with it. It's an Adam Sandler movie. The other one is an Alec Baldwin movie.
That's right.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep and Steve Martin.
Were in All of Me?
It's complicated.
Yes.
It's complicated. Oh, that's one of those. I do this joke about, but never gets a laugh because I think people like the movies, but. About how you go into
Here's something I'm going to do and it never gets laughs. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I have many of those bits. You go into a hotel and you put on demand. They all watch all your favorite Hollywood movies on demand. Then you see the choices. It's complicated. When in Rome. Again, Nicolas Cage attempts an action movie. 7. You'll never hear this from my hotel room. I demand to see Old Dog. Now. Front desk, hold my calls. I'm watching The Proposal. Put the do not disturb sign on the door.
I have to watch Race to Witch Mountain. Stat.
The remake Race to Witch Mountain.
It was the original?
Yeah, there's a Disney.
There was a Disney one with
the
I want to say Jodie Foster. Was she in that?
No, I thought it was the Lindsay Lohan, the original Lindsay Lohan girl.
There was a Lindsay Lohan before the Lindsay Lohan?
No, I'm thinking of Lindsay Lohan played the twins in Parent Trap. The girl before that was
Hilary Duff. No.
These movies are not even real movies. The
it was the woman who played the teacher in Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Somebody help me.
Nancy. I'm trying. Nancy.
No. Anything, Jason?
I'm not looking that up.
I never saw Saved by the Bell because I was too old.
No, she
You said you went to Bayside High School.
That's where they went. Well, Saved by the Bell.
They were the Tigers.
Who was the executive producer? It was Peter Engel, who later on went to produce Last Comic's Dad.
Really?
So you worked with Pedro.
Did I ever? Yeah, he was the producer of the show.
How do you feel about that Last Comic Standing in the competition and your part in it?
That's the only one I watched. And, honestly, you were great.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
You seem to be not against Greg or was Kathleen?
Greg and Natasha Leggero.
Natasha Leggero. Mm-hmm. They were fine, too, but you seem to be the most level-headed and normal of the three.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole thing was that I made fun of the show for so many years, so when I took the show, I knew that I would get a lot of blowback. But also, the main thing was that they really did a good job of... We didn't want to do anything cheesy, and they didn't make us do anything cheesy, so there was no...
That's good. Right.
There were no shenanigans that went on.
Well, we watched it, too. We were really good friends with Tommy Jonigan and Roy Wood Jr.
Both those guys are great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a fun year.
We couldn't figure out why the guy won that did.
Felipe.
But you know what? It's always whoever wins, hear about him again.
But that's my point, though, about the... How can you have a comedy competition when... I mean, it's not like a football game. It's not that clear who's
that's the limitation of the format, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at some point... Competitions are not going to be the way things are, you know, like Last Physicist Standing. That was a great theory, Einstein, but you've been voted out of the laboratory.
Looks like it's Niels Bohr.
That's going to be
Niels Bohr. No, Bristol Palin and her theory.
Unbelievable. Haley Mills.
Haley Mills
is the last nun standing.
No, she was in the Parent Trap. She sang, "Let's get together. Yeah. We'll have
twice the fun."
Is that
fun?
You're talking about Haley Mills from when I was a kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
And is that the original Parent Trap?
Yes, she was the original Parent Trap. Was she Race to Witch Mountain? The original Race to Witch Mountain?
Well, I'm going to have to look up Race to Witch Mountain now.
No, you could just look on her IMDb where you are.
What did you call me?
She was an IMDb.
She just blurted it right out like it didn't mean anything. You're an IMDb. Haley. What am I doing? Haley Mills, right?
By the way, your computer's like four miles away from you.
Well,
you have to have
that keyboard scoots back. There's...
I know, but I don't like to have it here in my workspace.
With all that work going on.
Oh my gosh! Post Disney. No, wait a minute. Whistle Down the Wind. What else was Haley? The Parent Trap, In Search of the Castaways, Summer Magic, The Moon Spinners, and That Darn Cat.
So she was not in Race to Witch Mountain.
She was not in Race to Witch Mountain.
That's okay.
Mm. So you want me to look up Race to Witch Mountain?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, this part of the show where you're looking stuff up on Google, I think it's going to take off like a rocket.
You know who could pick this part of the show up is
Google.
Jeff Garlin.
Yes, because
who do you like to work with? What's your dream? What would be your dream bill? You would headline. Who would be your middle?
Well, I couldn't do it that way because these are people. I love John Mulaney. Is hilarious.
And you said don't.
Adomian is fantastic. I love Paul F. Tompkins. I love, who else do I love? I'm so bad when I can't have to think of names of people. It's terrible.
It's okay.
Todd Glass I love.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Barry's very funny. There's so many funny comedians right now. I'm the funniest, true, but still. Sure, I'm the world's greatest comedian.
It is kind of the renaissance, isn't it? I mean, people are coming back to shows. I mean, not that they weren't, but I mean, during... whatever downturn we might have had in the economy.
I don't know.
I think
that there's a lot of... I'm not a comedian. I've never claimed to be one, obviously. But there's so many people that think they're funny that are not funny. And I don't know how it is. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. Do you watch the show Whitney?
No, I've made fun of that show.
Okay, good. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't know where she came from. I don't know what happened, but I think that that's a prime example.
I don't know.
I've never seen her stand up. Her stand up may be wonderful. I am not a fan of that show.
Well, that's an example too of somebody who had very, I don't know how much little stand up they had, but they were got known for the roast and stuff, which I don't really follow that much.
Yeah, I saw.
And I don't like the roast format either. Yeah. It makes me uncomfortable.
But I feel like when it's weird because when you watch one of those roasts and you're like, oh, there's a person I've never seen before, and then 2 weeks later it was like she was planted in that roast and now she has a sitcom.
Yeah, well, that happens. The TV is very much like it's like when Jeff Zucker took over NBC, and then his first thing was he wanted a TV sitcom with Emeril. Remember, Emeril had a sitcom.
Bam.
Yeah.
Bam. So it's only in TV. If I went to a restaurant to become a chef, I'd say, "Oh, you like to be a chef here? What was the experience?" I don't have any experience. Oh, forget about it. TV. Emeril, have you done any acting? Come right on in. Here's your show, Emeril.
Here's your show.
Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I like Greg Fitzsimmons. He's very
yes,
funny.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
I love Zach Galifianakis. I think he's the man.
Mm-hmm.
I love people like Zach because they can just make you laugh.
About stuff?
About just doing nothing. Yeah. He just mm-hmm. makes me laugh so hard. I love Colbert.
Yeah,
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. Do you ever watch Between Two Ferns? Have you done
that? That's the best.
Oh, my gosh.
And just those are the funniest. I also love Portlandia, too.
We do, too.
Portlandia.
Good.
Yeah, we like Portlandia.
Good.
I was going to ask this question earlier. Who's a comedian out there that's underappreciated and under, exposed, I guess? Who's probably their star should probably be a little higher than it is?
I don't know. That's a tough thing to say. Like to me, like Adomian is like... so mm-hmm. brilliant. A lot of people don't know who he is, but that's because he's coming. You know, it's like he's just about
he's
to
new.
Explode.
Yeah.
You know? Most people, I think, like I love Hannibal Buress. I mean, most people are actually, I think, getting, if they're not getting the attention. Well, I don't know. I mean, people could say about me. You know, a lot of people go, well, you know, I've had a guy in a supermarket say to me a couple weeks ago, "What happened? Whatever happened to you?"
Why would someone come up and say that?
Because it turns out I've seen him now a couple of times. He's a little bit off, the guy. He's just a little bit. Yeah. Has no,
how often do you see him?
He's at the supermarket where I go.
Oh.
But people decide what success is based on very superficial things. So
where do you get what do you get recognized for the most?
Well, it used to be Raymond was a lot. Yeah. But now people... for different things, like I think people see me on like Letterman sometimes, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. sometimes I can't tell what they're. And then now because I was on a Disney show, little kids.
Which one?
Wizards of Waverly Place.
You were?
Yeah.
Jeff Garland was on that show.
That's right.
I'm so sorry.
It's true, Andy. What are you going to do?
It
about
is
that?
True. It is true.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me finish. Let me change my mind from earlier. I think it's so terrible. I'm actually very...
You know what Maron said on when he was on here? He said a lot of smart stuff, but one thing he said was that you can say whatever you want. It's a podcast and whatever, but just be prepared to take the hit.
Yeah.
So what about... Do you think you're going to hear it from Garland? Or?
I'm sure I will. But he, at some point, let it be through the podcast.
See, but I could see...
He's a narcissist. The narcissism is out of control.
I could see him saying this about almost anybody. I guess my uncomfortableness with this is that I don't see you saying... You're such a nice guy. I don't see that you saying anything like this about anybody. So I think it makes it bigger when he says...
But there's so many... However... The way that you dislike some people is really friendly, if that's possible.
Well, I mean, I've gone through this thing. I mean, this is like the bane of whatever the thing I struggle with all the time is. Like, I have these strong feelings. Like somebody on Twitter said, "What did Jay Leno do to you?" Like, there is a certain level to this that it's not personal,
right?
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Jeff Garland thing is hard because I've known him forever, and mm-hmm. he probably doesn't think I have any negative feelings about him. But I don't really care because I feel like I've seen him now. You know, if I had been in a situation where I could tell him, like when he was yelling at that crowd, I'd tell him that was ridiculous. He's yelling at a crowd for not reading a book. I mean, it's like ludicrous, you know?
And to be, I don't know, to save our ass or I don't know what to...
About what? about.
We don't have to save our ass from anything.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, are you worried that he'll hear this, or and then?
No, I'm not worried at all.
I mean, I worry about these things all the time. I mean, this is actually the difference.
I don't want him to think that I influenced your opinion about him.
Oh no! I got
because
this.
You came in with this. He was yelling at people. No, I'm not, you know, because Maren had the same sort of opinion about Jeff that you do. I mean,
yeah.
I keep running into
But don't
into
you
that.
Think it's a character?
That Jeff's doing?
Yeah.
No, he's not doing a character. Not at all. He thinks he has a very high opinion of himself. He has had a very high opinion of himself. I don't think that's attractive.
Thank you, Andy.
Well, was this podcast specifically anti-Jeff Garland?
No, but it's turned into
that. Well, here's the other thing. It's like, I cannot imagine. I've seen you many, many times now.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine someone not being nice to you. I don't understand that.
I don't know what brought it on either. And I thought I couldn't have been more complimentary and
your
forthcoming.
Questions, like you said, but he was nervous.
I sensed that this is what he was going to do, and he was going to be cutting toward me. So I was kind of trying to be playful back.
Right.
But
you can't be mean.
I can't do that. Yeah. I can't be mean.
I have seen him yell at crowds, yell at people. He's yelling. He's constantly yelling. He's yelling at the crowd. He's yelling at the people for reading a book. He's yelling. What is he mad about? And I'm saying, here's what I'm saying about him. He's angry because he doesn't have any material. That's what he's angry about. He is funny in the moment, but because he hasn't actually put it 45 minutes together. And then he's got tremendous amount of success. Tremendous.
He's funny in the moment. That's probably why he's so great on Curb. Yeah, that's the setup.
He
also
happens to be an excellent actor. So, I think he's an excellent actor. He does a good job. But he thinks that he is God's gift to comedy. And I am God's gift to comedy. I am the world's greatest comedian. And I need to have more respect. And I need everybody to come up to me and say, Andy, I'm funny, but I cannot do what you do. And do a little bow and go, a-cha-pa-cha-pa-cha-pa-cha. And I want people to bring me, peeled grapes. I want them to peel the grapes. Then I want them to reattach the skin to the grape. And then to feed it to me naked. Then I want them to be naked. Then I want to go into a big room where there's nothing but Jeff Garland surrounding me. And he's naked somehow. And he's yelling at me. But you know what? Nothing made me more horny than the idea of seeing Jeff Garland eat a day-old bagel. Because no one likes to hear him eat cheese.
That's right. Andy Kindler has been our guest. AndyKindler.com?
No, I'm hiding from him and Bill Maher. They control the business. It's AndyKindler.com, and it's at Andy Kindler on Twitter. And I don't know what's going on with Facebook.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm kind of off of Facebook.
Who cares?
Monthlyfilterclub.com. Go there and put in the code word off the air. We really appreciate that. Thank you, Jessica.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jessica.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Andy.
Jason, are you still going to continue with the bring four random CDs to somebody?
I cut that part out. People aren't going to hear that.
Really?
Yeah, it was awful.
Hey, do me a favor. Cut out the Jeff Garland.
We're only going to have like 10 minutes then.
Oh, no. Leave the Jeff Garland stuff in. And in fact, pump up my voice somehow to make it sound like I'm the devil.
And this is Bob Schneider, bobschneidermusic.com. Good night, everybody!